This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We now move into to a time of scripture reading. This morning, we'd like to invite Sister Faith to read for us Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 37. And after that, we'll invite Pastor Andrew to give us God's word today.
Today's passage is taken from Leviticus chapter 19. We will be reading the full chapter. If you're using the blue Bibles, it's page 121. You can follow along with the Bible or on the screen. Page 121. Verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. Each of you must respect your mother and father, and you must observe my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Do not turn to idols or make metal gods for yourselves. I am the Lord your God. When you sacrifice a fellowship offering to the Lord, sacrifice it in such a way that it will be accepted on your behalf. It shall be eaten on the day you sacrifice it, or on the next day. Anything left over until the third day must be burned. If any of it is eaten on the third day, it is impure and will not be accepted. Whoever eats it will be held responsible because they have desecrated what is holy to the Lord. They must be cut off from their people. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not deceive one another. Do not swear falsely by my name, and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind, but fear your God. I am the Lord. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Do not do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate a fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so that you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Keep my decrees. Do not mate different kinds of animals. Do not plant your field with two kinds of seed. Do not wear clothing woven of two different kinds of material. If a man sleeps with a female slave who is promised to another man, but who has not been ransomed or given her freedom, there must be due punishment. Yet they are not to be put to death because she had not been freed. The man, however, must bring a ram to the entrance to the tent of meeting for a guilt offering to the Lord. With the ram of the guilt offering, the priest is to make atonement for him before the Lord for the sin he has committed, and his sin will be forgiven. When you enter the land and plant any kind of fruit tree, regard its fruit as forbidden. For 3 years you are to consider it forbidden. It must not be eaten. In the fourth year, all its fruit will be holy, an offering of praise to the Lord. But in the fifth year, you may eat its fruit. In this way, your harvest will be increased. I am the Lord your God. Do not eat any meat with the blood still in it. Do not practice divination or seek omens. Do not cut the hair at the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. Do not cut your bodies for the dead or put tattoo marks on yourselves. I am the Lord. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute, or the land will turn to prostitution and be filled with wickedness. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not ill-treat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights, an honest ephah and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt. Keep all my decrees and all my laws and follow them. I am the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
I want to ask you this question. What is your ambition in life? What is your ambition in life? When I was young, I had this ambition to become a professional tennis player. Go to Kallang tennis courts and practice from 9 a.m. to noon on my forehands and backhands and serves. I remember at the last church camp, we had this Pecha Kucha, and I remember Joshua Chow, where is he? His ambition was to finish his Lego collection. Y'all remember that? I don't know whether you noticed, but our youth in the second service, they seem to have this strange ambition to do unassisted handstands and all these like strange calisthenic things, right? What is your ambition, right? Is it a big house, big car, great career? Like, what is the ambition that you have in life? Now, I wonder whether how many have said to ourselves, my ambition is to be holy. Right? Any of you said to yourself, that's my ambition, to be holy? Because actually, if you look at this passage today, it begins in chapter 19, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. And this is the reason why he says they are to be holy. Over and over again in verse 3, verse 4 and verse 10, he keeps saying, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God. And just as God is the God of Israel, God is our God. Right? God is our God because of Jesus. So as we look at this passage today, it actually tells us that we are to be holy. Now, it's quite interesting because in the New Testament, it actually quotes this very same passage from Leviticus chapter 19, right? And it tells us because we are now saved through Jesus Christ, we are God's children, just like Israel were God's children. And so we are not to conform to evil desires, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. In fact, Peter goes on to tell us that the way that we are described is as a holy nation. We are obedient children. We are a holy nation. Be holy because God, your God, is holy. And so what's interesting is we may all have various and varied ambitions in life. But if we are saved in Jesus Christ and God is our God, we have one overriding and unifying ambition, which is to be holy, which is to be holy. It's like a non-negotiable. It is like a resolution, a determination. It is something that all of us must choose to do. Now, what does it mean then to be holy? To be holy is to be separate, to be unique, to be distinct. Like God is separate, unique, and distinct. And so, as we look then at this passage, we need to ask ourselves, where are we in the book of Leviticus? Right? Where are we in the book of Leviticus? And so, at the beginning of the book of Leviticus, it actually dealt with the problem of how do God's sinful people meet with a holy God? Right? That was the question that was posed at the beginning of the book of Leviticus. And the first half of Leviticus, it answers that question, right? A sinful people can meet with a holy God because God institutes all these sacrifices of atonement. And so these sacrifices, they atone for sin, they pay for sin, and they bring forgiveness. But that's not all, right? Because in Leviticus chapter 11 to 15, it actually gives them rules about how to stay clean, like how the temple stays clean and how the community stays clean together with God. And at the very end of the first section in chapter 16, we were told about the Day of Atonement where once a year, all the sacrifices were to be performed and the whole community and the temple would be clean for that year. And so today, we're beginning the second part of the book of Leviticus, right? After God's people can now meet with God through sacrifices and atonement. Leviticus chapter 2, the second part of Leviticus actually teaches us about how God's sinful people can live with God. In a sense, it's actually preparing the people as they enter into the promised land. Now, this is very similar to our situation, right? Because we can meet God because Jesus Christ has died for us. Because of the atoning death of Jesus on the cross, we can now meet God. But what now, right? What does it mean to live with God? And so, let's look then at this passage. In verse 3 to verse 5, there are all these things that we expect to be holy. There are all these religious things that people need to do, right? People need to observe the Sabbath, not make idols. There's rules about fellowship offerings. But what's interesting here is that there are only 6 verses which kind of relate to religious duties. These 6 verses mirror the 10 commandments. And these 6 verses are what we would expect in terms of being holy. I have some relatives and they are very religious people. They have all sorts of different religious traditions. And we think of holiness in terms of going to holy places, doing holy things at holy times, eating food in a holy way, either by abstaining in food, eating types of food. These are all holy things. But here, as we look at the passage, only 6 verses seem to be dedicated to doing holy things. What seems to be surprising is what it says there in verse 9 and 10. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. That means the things that drop on the floor. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Now, this is fascinating, right? To be holy is to care for the poor. Like, this is an agricultural society. Everybody owns fields. That's how they make money. That's how they get food. And God says, be holy, just as I'm holy. How? By only harvesting your field once and leaving the corners and the sides of your field unharvested. Anything that falls on the ground, you cannot pick up. You got to leave it. Now, this is so that the poor and the foreigner can come onto the field after your harvest to pick up all the leftover food. This is what it means to be holy before God, to love the poor, care for the poor, and the alien. I wonder whether we are like that. The New Testament, as Christians, actually tells us that we are to be like that. In the book of James, it says, Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. Again, in the book of James, it tells us how we should practice our faith. It says, what good is it if we say to people who are needy without food and clothes, go in peace, keep warm and be well fed, but does nothing about physical needs? What good is it? Faith in like this, by itself, without action, is dead. So I remember this very sad story that this person told me about how they belong to this very rich church of about 600 to 800 people. And this church actually also has an ACM. And during this ACM, which was many, many decades ago, so, you know, I hope no one was at this church before, but they actually had a long, long, very, very long and difficult discussion about whether to give a needy person in their midst $200 a month. And what he said was, this is a church where people drive Mercedes-Benz, BMW to church, they live in good class bungalows, and they were struggling to decide whether to give $200 a month to a needy person at church. And the sad part was, the person that told me the story actually wanted to become a full-time pastor. But after this ACM, this person said he didn't want to become a pastor anymore because he didn't want to leave his wage up to his church to pay him. And actually, he left that church in the end and now attends a different church. I wonder whether for ourselves, we take to heart the command here to be holy is to care and love for the needy. You know, I want us to imagine, right, just for a moment, that we are transported back into Egypt and we all own plots of land. How hard would it be, how much heartache would you have in your heart to only harvest your crops once and to leave all the droppings on the ground and to not harvest the sides? To do so would be a very different mindset, right? It is not profit maximization. It's not the maximization of riches, but actually generosity and caring for the poor. I wonder whether for ourselves, we could ask the question, what needy person am I helping today, right? What needy person am I helping today? The passage then goes on, and it's very interesting because the passage actually breaks down naturally by using the structural marker. And so if you notice, from verse 3 all the way to verse 10, it keeps saying, I am the Lord your God, I am the Lord your God. But from verse 11 to verse 18, it changes. It keeps saying, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord. And so if you look in your Bibles from verse 11 to 18, you notice that there is this section from verse 11 to 18, and it's all about do not, do not, do not, do not, do not, right? Do not steal, do not swear, do not deceive. But if you look carefully, there is one thing that we must do. There's one thing we must do. And that comes in verse 18, right? But love your neighbor as yourself. But love your neighbor as yourself. And so, if this section mirrors the previous section is about loving and caring for the poor and the foreigner, then this one kind of builds on it, right? Do not do things, but love your neighbor as yourself. And that then summarizes the whole of all the do not sections. You see, if you love your neighbor as yourself, then would you steal from yourself? No, right? Do you like things stolen from yourself? No. Do you like being lied to? No. Do you like being deceived or conned? No. Do you like people swearing falsely in your name? No. Do you like to be defrauded and robbed? Do you like to have your wages held back? No, right? So if you love your neighbor as yourself, you will not do all these things to other people. You know, this is a very, very counter-cultural, counter-personal thing. We are good at loving ourselves, but we're not good at loving neighbor by ourselves. So a few weeks ago, I think it was just last week, our youth actually had a camp and they were staying Yeah, right. So that's why you may have noticed last week the youth looked very tired. So one of the reasons why they looked really tired was apparently the youth cleverly thought that they would kind of like keep all the dorm keys in the room when they left the dorm. But somebody locked the door and closed the door and all the keys were locked in the room, so they couldn't go back to the room to sleep, and too late to call the GBHQ staff to come and open the door for them. So they had to go and sleep, I think here, I think, or somewhere in one of the rooms, right? But you know what was really, really touching for me to hear? The older boys said we should accompany the younger boys because they would feel scared. So rather than hanging out by themselves, the older boys actually, I guess, sacrificed themselves to accompany the younger boys. Why? Because they love the neighbor like themselves, right? Because if you were a younger boy and you were lonely and scared, you would want an older person to come and accompany you. And that's what we're meant to do, right? Be holy as our God is holy. And why? Because in our holiness, we love neighbor as self. And I wonder whether we as Christians really take that as seriously as we should. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13, right? That as Christians, the only debt that we have to each other is to love one another. We are to love neighbor as yourself. Again, Leviticus chapter 19. In fact, Jesus says these words in John chapter 13. A new command I give you, love one another as you have loved Christ. I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Are you really a disciple of Jesus? Are you really holy because God is holy? Then you must love neighbor as yourself. You know, you can come to church 52 Sundays of a year. You could go to Bible study. Your Bible knowledge could be like perfect. But if you do not love neighbor as yourself, then actually you're not Jesus' disciple. You're not actually reflecting God's holiness in your life. You know, early on today, we had our prayer and confession. And whenever I do the confession, it's always about praying about things that I haven't done, right? But as I was reflecting on today's passage during the confession time, I wonder whether when we do our confession, we ever confess to God and say, God, I have failed to love neighbor as myself. I failed to love neighbor as myself. Now, I think that one of the most important things you can do to love neighbor as yourself is to share Jesus Christ with them. Right? If I'm an unsaved person and you are my neighbor and you know Jesus, the greatest thing you can do for me is to actually share Jesus with me. Don't you think that's true? I could give you bread, I could give you food, I could lend you all these material things, I could give you all these material things. But the ultimate act of loving neighbor as self must be to share Jesus Christ with you. Now, the last section then is verse 19 all the way to the end. And I really want to thank Faye for reading it because it was quite difficult, right? There are all these weird, weird commands here, and all of them have some background, but they don't really relate to us today. I'm sure some of you may have questions like, hey, can I have short hair? Cannot shave, right? Cannot have tattoos? Can we have tattoos today? A lot of this has to do with the context of Israel going into this new land and surrounded by different sorts of people, pagan people who do not believe in God. Now, the section we really want to focus on is on verse 26, all the way to verse 31. If you look at this section really is teaching Israel that when they enter the land, they need to be separate and distinct from their neighbors. So they says there in verse 26, you cannot eat meat with blood still in it. Okay, we've been seeing this all the way through Leviticus, right? You cannot eat meat with blood in it because the blood represents life. And life and blood can only be used in atoning sacrifice. But for the people who are living in the land, right, the Amalekites and all the kites, they would use blood and the meat as part of their religious practices. Again, do not practice divination or seek omens, right? Do not cut your hair and clip the edges of your beard, cut your bodies or mark tattoos. These are all, as we understand, pagan religious practices. Do not degrade your daughter by making her a prostitute. And you sort of think, why would parents want to give their daughters into prostitution? Obviously, we live in a very different time and age, and we think, what parent would do that, right? But apparently in the ancient world, parents would often give their daughters over for religious prostitution in the temple structure, in these pagan religious things. So this is like, you know, for your daughter to be a temple prostitute would be a privilege, right, in that ancient culture. So verse 26 all the way to 31 is all about don't associate with these pagan practices. Don't separate yourself, right? Be distinct from them. Be holy because I'm holy. And that's what makes verse 33 to 34 such a shock to us, right? Because it says, when a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not ill-treat them. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as a native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord, your God. And what a shocking contrast, right? It's like, do not associate with all these pagan practices of your neighbors when you enter the land. But the neighbors themselves, these foreigners who live among you, do not mistreat, but not just do not mistreat, but treat them as if they were native. Love them as a neighbor. Now, this is a really shocking thing, right? As you can see all around the world with all this xenophobic tendencies and far-right movements now, right? In the world we live in, people don't treat foreigners like native-born. And surely they will not love them like themselves. But God says, look, you were a foreigner in Egypt. How would you have liked the Egyptians to treat you? How you should treat the foreigner in your midst. Now, I wonder whether we love neighbor like that, that we love the alien and the stranger, right? This afternoon, we're having a barbecue for the dorm, the domestic foreign workers at Shalom, and we're going to the East Coast. Now, I wonder for many of us, even for myself, it's a culture shock when I meet these Bangladeshis, these Indians, Vietnamese, and China people. I'm like, these people are so different from our life. And they're, you know, like, they have arranged marriages. Like, you know, their parents choose their brides for them. They live far, far away in these really, really remote places where you have no idea that you've never been there in your whole life. But because God says, be holy because I'm holy, we are to love them and care for them, just like ourselves. The surprising things that I experienced was we went on the river cruise with the foreign workers once before. And there was an MOM officer that accompanied us. He had a camera attached to his chest and a lanyard with MOM identification. And I said, like, why are you here with us, right? And then he said, the MOM sends me here because there have been incidences where Singaporeans, local Singaporeans, bully and abuse the foreign workers. And I was thinking to myself, surely Singaporeans cannot be like that. But that very night, when we took the bus back to Shaw Road Dormitory, the foreign workers were crossing the road and this car blasted his horn at us. And like drove really close to us in a very threatening way. And the MOM officer actually came up to them. And obviously, once they saw his identification in the camera, he started scolding them. And then they, you know, he said, wind down the window, wind down the window. And then he started scolding them. He said, I'm going to, you know, if you do that again, I'm going to call the police, right? Because it's not, I mean, this is how we are, right? We We don't love the foreigner. We mistreat the alien. But as Christians, we're to be different. Now, part of our natural response, I think, when God tells us to love neighbor is to restrict and limit the definition of neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Who's my neighbor, right? The fewer people who are my neighbor, then the fewer people I have to love. And so for the responsive reading that we had today, the parable of the Good Samaritan, right? This man says to Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells them this parable. There's this guy who's robbed on the road, and the priest, who's holy, right? Technically, he's a priest, sees this man. And what does he see? He doesn't see a neighbor. He just sees a person who has been robbed and is bloody and lying by the side of the road. He says, this is not my neighbor. So he crosses to the other side of the road. A Levite who also works in the temple and so is considered holy sees the same man and says, is this my neighbor? He says, no, this is not my neighbor. He crosses on the other side of the road. The Samaritan sees this man, and this Samaritan should actually see this man as an enemy, right? Because he's a Jew. And the Jews and the Samaritans are blood enemies. They hate one another. And so if anybody should see this person lying on the road as not my neighbor, it would be the Samaritan. But yet the Samaritan gets his shirt all bloody, carries him onto his donkey, brings him into the inn, pays for him to be cared for, leaves him there and leaves even more money. And so Jesus says to himself, right, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? And the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. See, that's the key question, right, that Jesus challenges us with. It is not who is my neighbor, but who can I be a neighbor to, right? Who can I be a neighbor to? So as we wrap up everything, God tells us, be holy as I, your God, am holy. And yes, we need to do religious duties, but I want us to pay attention of how much Leviticus 19 is about loving other people. Loving and caring for those who are needy, loving the neighbor itself, loving the alien and stranger. In conclusion, you know what oxymoron is? An oxymoron is where there are two words which come together which cannot fit together. It's like, you know, wet, dry, or dark, light, right? So this cannot fit together. And so in the same way, you cannot be an unholy Christian. Right? Cannot be an unholy Christian. Holy Christian comes together, right? Unholy Christian cannot be. Oxymoron. In the same way, we cannot be unloving Christians, right? Unloving Christians. And so the challenge for us today, challenge for me as well, and for all of us, is Jesus Christ has saved us. We are saved in Jesus. Now that we are saved in Jesus, God is our God and we are to be holy like God, and that means loving. Loving neighbor, loving and caring for the poor, loving the alien. Are we doing that? Or are you an oxymoron? Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Father, as we come before you today, help us to see that we are saved in Jesus. Because of his atoning sacrifice, we are right with you. We are your children. We are disciples of Jesus. And as we've seen today in Leviticus chapter 19, because you are holy, we are to be holy too. And the expression of holiness is not just in doing religious things, but ultimately in love, in loving and caring for the needy, in loving neighbor as self, in loving the alien and the stranger. Help us to hear the words of Jesus, which commands us, who can I be a neighbor to? Dear Father, we just pray for all of us that we will be loving Christians, that we will express love as our distinctive things, as our distinctive mark, so that we truly are the disciples of Jesus. And we pray for all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing with us Leviticus 19. On screen now, we have two questions. The first is it my ambition to be holy because my Lord God is holy? How do I show this in my life? What can I change? The second is, how am I being a neighbor to the needy, my neighbor, or the alien here? Let's take the next 5 minutes to talk through these questions.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.